Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk more about Advent, the 4 weeks of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Last week, we touched on the concept of faith and its function in the developmental process. This week, we will focus on hope and the application of expectancy in the unfolding of spiritual understanding. Listen as Swami explains how something invisible and intangible can be so pragmatic. The role of the causal spiritual body as a practical guide for effective living. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, get the light in your soul, and live out from the perfection of spirit. So Swami, obviously we know this week is about hope, but I think it's much more than what we usually say, like hope you have a good day, hope you have a good birthday, hope to see you soon. I think we need to delve a little bit deeper into what hope is really all about. Why don't you get us started on that?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that we can do that.
Good one.
Yeah, we're really not talking about just senseless optimism here. A big part of trying to move from material means to spiritual understanding, we have to give up the visible and the tangible. We have to give up the invisible and the tangible, and we have to start to rely on the sustaining infinite, relying on the invisible intangible. For me, it's a real challenge to not be able to say, for example, look at what is before my eyes and say that this isn't real, this isn't right. And it takes quite a bit of practice, and it took quite a bit of practice for me to even start to consider it as a possibility that what is invisible and intangible is true, is the only reality. And most of this now is really being backed by science, that as you start to explore the quantum world, yeah, that science is actually starting to say that observation is what creates reality. And even Max Planck has been quoted as saying that this mind is the matrix of all matter. And this is stuff that Mary Baker Eddy has been saying since the inception of her Introduction to Christian Science, that divine mind is all. It's everything. When you are starting to move away from your focus being on what the appearance of things, and you start to look through it, and you're looking for something that's invisible and intangible, it was really helpful for me to recognize that it wasn't nothing I was looking at. I was looking at creation in its entirety. I was looking at the unified state of consciousness. And once I started to accept that as the truth of my being, that's very different than the way that we're kind of being socialized today, especially, say, for example, with the medical model that is saying, you know, early detection. And they're looking at the physical form. They're looking at what is going on physically, or even in, say, for example, in a lot of their psychological therapies, they're looking at what you're thinking, what's going on in your mind. And these are really the dimensions of reality that are not real. And the reason they're not real is because spirit is the only self-existent principle in this universe. Spirit, which is whole, perfect, complete, eternal, and changeless, is the only reality. And we're coming at it backwards. We're kind of like the dummy trying to survive without the ventriloquist. And so trying to get yourself established so that when you are not reacting to the testimony of your senses because it's not backed by truth, it's not backed by principle, and it is going to be your belief in whatever it is that is appearing before you that is going to sustain it and maintain it. So initially, you really have to work with not accepting the testimony of your senses. And in doing this, like I said in the beginning, it's not like you want to be senselessly optimistic or stupid here. But what we're saying is that we must know the truth of our being. And the truth of our being is that we are spirit. We are whole, we are complete, we are eternal. And when we start to accept that, we move out from being under the law of karma and a belief in two powers, and we are under divine law, which is the law of love and life and harmony and happiness.
So how does the whole concept of hope, how does that play the picture? What's the part in this model?
Well, first of all, I think it's a completely different approach where typically I think our mode of operation is that we're accustomed to living from and applying hope to the changing conditions of our personal mentality. So in other words, we hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. We hope I don't get sick, or we hope that you get better, or, you know, we're always kind of hoping for some sort of change. And in the framework of this, we're basically creating a reality that is apart from the truth of our being. And it becomes a difficult platform to walk away from, because it is our belief in it, and it is the collective belief in it, that gives it a certain amount of power, and the appearance is that it has power. But to know the truth, and the truth is that the only power is divine power, and divine power can only be good. And so a lot of the things that we are hoping for, and we have this understanding that our concept of spirit is a force that can be used against evil, where in fact it doesn't work like that at all. Evil isn't a force at all. Evil isn't real at all. It is just an appearance that we believe in. And once we start to move out from being controlled by the appearances of things, and we start to settle into the perfection of our own being, living out from the causal spiritual dimension, so that you're not looking for things to be wrong because you know that that isn't possible. And in knowing that, that's what sets us free. It sets us free from the false sense of existence that we are being controlled by, that we're hypnotized by.
So again, we're talking about conditioning, like we're conditioned to think that seeing is believing, but you're talking about invisible and intangible, so you can't see that. So therefore, we have to have this trust and this faith in that the spirit is this wholesome entity, I guess, if you will, that we just have to believe in that.
Yeah, and once we start to experiment with it, once we start to trust the presence of divine law, because again, you don't want to be senselessly optimistic or stupid here, that until you have an understanding of the truth of your being, you have to start to recognize that you are being controlled by the testimony of your senses. You are basically being controlled by the world mind. And in fact, most of us are individualized from the world mind. And a big part of a yoga practice or any spiritual science is to really get out from that false sense of existence and to start to be individualized from divine mind. And in the framework of doing this, you step into it, I want to say, with toe in the water, that you can't just jump off of the ship and think that you can swim in spiritual waters, that you really want to practice and start applying the principles and starting to get better and better at understanding it, because you have to develop spiritual sensitivity. You have to have an understanding of the presence of the Absolute before you can really start to gain the dominion that comes with the true understanding of the perfection of being.
Well, I think it's interesting that most of us look outside of ourselves for this divine relationship, when all the time it's within us. And I had read earlier this week, I believe it's from Joel Goldsmith, where he says that spirit is knocking on the door and we have to let it in. And I was wondering if maybe you could expound upon that.
Right. And one of the things in the framework of trying to interpret a lot of this information that's out there is really having a clear understanding of what they mean by the terms that they're using, because we're filling in the blanks. And you can't ever separate your sense of perception from what it is that you're hearing. What they're saying is written in the Bible, and it says that the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, what is that? Because there are other things within us, like thoughts. And if we have a concept of the kingdom of heaven, or we're thinking about the kingdom of heaven, you're turned inward, but you're using the wrong symbol. You're lost in the shadow of truth, which is world mind. And the way the Bible tells us is, how do you know the difference between the imitation, the counterfeit concept of spirit, the false God, and the one true God? And the answer to that has typically always been from the fruits. That if you are aligning yourself with divine law, then you should start to demonstrate divine law. If you think you are aligned with divine law and you are struggling with sin, sickness, poverty, lack, suffering, pain, something's wrong with the picture. And typically, it will come down to, in my opinion, that you have a belief in something other than this one true God that the scriptures or the books are talking about. And when you turn within, what is it that's knocking at the door? That you really have to hear it with your third eye. You have to hear it with your soul and not with your five sense mind, is what they're saying. And what you're listening for, if it reports in the five sense mind, I would pretty much say that you are accepting something that is invisible but tangible, which means that you're putting water in your snowblower and can't figure out why it isn't starting up.
Oh, this is a great place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments. Creo Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I want to get back and talk more about the word hope. And in my opinion, I think hope is one of those words that's just been kind of thrown around for a while. It's been misused, just much like the word God has been. So I'm wondering if maybe you can just clarify for us, what is really the true sense of the word hope? Can you review that with us again?
Well, I think it's all going to be relative. It's all going to depend on your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness, where you're living out from, what it is that you think is real. Because on some level, most of us, when we are still living under the law of karma and we feel like we are victims and we're not in control of our outcome, we use hope kind of like as a form of wishing. I'm hoping that things will get better. If you are living out from the understanding of yourself as being an eternal spiritual being and you are under divine law, hope is more of a period of expectancy, that if things are not in sync with divine law, you don't hope in the same way that things are going to get better. What you do is you know the truth of your reality. And the truth of your reality is that you are under divine law, which is the law of harmony. It's the law of perfection. And that is what you will outpicture. Because even in quantum physics, like they tell you, it is the observer that sets the measurement for the collapse of the wave function. For something to go from the potentiality of energy into the definitive appearance of reality of a particle, that when a wave becomes a particle, it is observation that creates that. The measurement is set by the observer. So how we are thinking is what is going to determine what we will outpicture or externalize. And if you are thinking with the changing conditions of a personal mentality, then you are going to be under the law of karma. And at the very best, what you will be able to do is change finite bad into finite good. But if you are under divine law, then there isn't anything that is required. Spirit is whole, perfect, eternal, unchanging now. There isn't anything that has to be added to it. There isn't anything that has to be taken away from it. To activate it, we have to acknowledge and recognize the presence of it. But like I had said earlier, that you have to be very careful that you are identifying with what is invisible and intangible. That Joel Goldsmith is 100% right, that it is there. It's always right there. And it's knocking at the door, but it is us that must invite it in. And how do you invite spirit into your reality? Just turn to the Bible and it says, ask in my name, ask in my likeness. We have to accept our spiritual identity. We have to recognize the perfection of our own being. And where is it that we're perfect? Well, it's within. And what is it that's within us that's perfect? And what's perfect is the invisible, intangible presence of spirit. And if you're looking for something, you're looking for anything to show you, you're going to be in error.
Well, I think you read my mind because I was going to ask you to explain to us, how do we invite spirit in? So I was wondering, could you run that by us again?
Yeah, this whole thing of ask in my name, in my likeness, we have to assume our spiritual identity. That's what we've been saying all along. The physics of spirituality is like attracts like. But if we are attracted to the world, if we are living out from things that are visible and tangible, then we will not have the frequency that will attract spirit to us. And that's why in Kriya Yoga, we employ strategies. We have to change the frequency. We have to change the vibration of the mind-body complex in order to really make it appealing to the presence of divine law. That you have to create a hospitable environment, because if you are all bound up in unnecessary dependencies, if you're all bound up in unnecessary addictions, then you can't get spirit in, because like attracts like, but two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So you really have to fill your being up with the void or the nothing. It will actually bring you down to almost zero vibration. And that's what we talked about in one of the earlier shows, is acquiring a taste for what is invisible and intangible. When you love the presence of this stillness, the presence of this absolute silence, and you are indulging yourself in it, then that will create the connection between you and divine law, the presence of the eternal spirit now.
And I think that's the key word right there, is now. That's like the second or third time you've said that during the show, is that we can have this relationship with our divinity right now. Everything is perfect right now. But how come we don't believe it?
Well, because we're accepting the testimony of our senses, because we are in the shadow of truth. We are in a reality that is apart from spirit. I've always been saying is that was the intention of religion, was to recognize that we have fallen from Eden. We have fallen for something other than divine law. And we are in the realms of suffering, decay. We are under the law of karma. And we have a belief in two powers. Now, in order to reverse engineer this whole thing, we have to get out of this regressive cycle, this regressive pattern that we're in. And the best way to do it is to accept that there is a dimension of reality that is perfect now, that is present now. You have to remember that you are accustomed to looking for things that report in the lower mind, and we are accustomed to working with duality, which is a reality that's in half. And again, the reason why it reports in our senses is because it's in half. There's a point of contrast. And that point of departure is what enables things to be perceived in our senses. But truth or wholeness or spirit is complete, and there's no contrast in it. And really, there's no activity in it. It is changeless. It is the eternal stillness, bliss, wonder, awe. And if you can hold your mind on the presence of it and make your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of truth, then the raiment of your mind will be clothed with divine idea, which is very different than human thoughts or opinions that are coming out of duality. But now, once you have accepted the presence of spirit and you're holding your attention to it, just follow the instruction in the Bible to love God. Or if you're a Buddhist, desire nothing. That will bring divine law into activity in your reality.
So this Christmas season, this being the second week of Advent, and we've already discussed it, it's hope. How can we apply hope in the celebration of the Yuletide, the Christmas season?
As I said, as a period of expectancy for the externalization of divine law, to bring peace on earth, to bring goodwill to all men.
And we're not talking about doing this for conduct reasons. We're doing this because we're exercising the divinity in ourselves.
Right. And accepting the divinity of ourselves, we have actually given up a personal sense of I. And you no longer live out of the limited sense that you are a separate entity, but you're an intricate part of the creation of this universe.
So now the personal sense of I we're talking about, that's when we're looking at ourselves as me, myself, and I. But when we talk about the I of our being, we're talking about our divinity, the God that resides in us.
Right. That we are the reflection of the divine. And I love the interpretation of the word reflection as the state of mind considering its own content.
I like what you were saying earlier when you're saying this is 180 degrees from the Western medical model that's promoting early detection and fighting disease. And I think that's something that, again, it's conditioning.
Right. And now we're talking a system that ignores the presence of the image entirely. And not just senseless optimism or hoping that things are going to get better. It's because you have a clear understanding that what is appearing before you isn't real, that it isn't there. Because it is our belief in it that makes it appear to be real. And this is for the good as well as for the bad. It isn't that health is real and sickness is unreal. Spirit is the only reality.
Well, I think that's a great place to end our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit our websites, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, there's all kinds of tools that you can click on for your continued learning experiences. And don't forget our Facebook Live episodes that air every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Swami, do you have anything else you'd like to let our listeners know about?
I really think that it would be a good time to maybe get away from sitting around and begging and pleading in the lower context of hoping for some kind of divine intervention to make either bad things good or sick bodies better or more material resources into your reality. And instead of using hope to change finite bad into finite good and then hope that it stays there, you shift into the context of spirit, where hope is more of a period of expectancy for the externalization of the presence of divine law, and to outpicture the perfection of your own being, that is going to be more of a realization than it will be any kind of changing of something that is appearing to be out of balance now. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.